this your story, Dan, or is this God's story? I'm going to give you reasons from the Bible that you need to have this experience tonight. Because tomorrow's something you're not supposed to worry about. We have orders from the King of Kings that we should take no thought for tomorrow. That today, if we hear His voice, we shouldn't get hard and obtuse, but we should get soft and moldable. And say, okay, I surrender. Yes, make me yours. So I'll give you some reasons. Number one, it's God's choice. Ephesians 1:4, He chose you for the foundation of the world that you should be holy and blameless in His sight. This is older than the universe, that we would be holy people. The next verse says, but in love, because we fell, ad lib, He predestined all of us to be adopted as sons in Christ Jesus. Because He loved us, He didn't leave us in our fallen state. But His original choice was that all of us would be holy and without blame. Isn't that good news? So when you line up with God's choice, it's kind of hard to fail. Number two, it's God's command that we would be holy. Quote 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, just as He who calls you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, for I'm holy. Not do holy. Be holy. Well, God, I can't do that. No kidding. Lay your life down. I can do it. Give me yourself. Say yes. Take your hands off. I'll do the work. I'm the one who sanctifies. You can't do it. So when God gives us a command to be holy, it's not negotiable. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. John 14:15, John 15:14, John 14:23. If you obey my commands, I'll set up my house in you, and the Father will come too. This is how I'll even know if you're my Christian followers. If you obey my commands, 1 John 2:3, and anyone who claims to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6. And this is love for God, that you would obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. 1 John 5:3. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, don't talk about it. Do what He says. It's His choice before He even dreamed of the earth being formed that we would be holy, and it's His command to follow His choice. Amen? It's His will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it's God's will that all of you should be sanctified holy so you can avoid sexual immorality. God's will. And last night I kind of used some of James Dobson's statistics. And in most cases, he says, up to 70% of church members have problems with sexual immorality and lust. And that's kind of the same percentage up to that don't pay tithe. It's my will that you be sanctified holy so you can avoid sexual immorality. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7:21, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father. You can cast out demons. You can preach, you can do signs and wonders because there's power in the Word. But if you don't do His will when He comes, you're either going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And He's talking to people that do miracles. I mean, there's two lines, isn't there, at the end of time when we're all standing before Him if we escape the great white throne judgment because we were died in the faith, then we'll stand before him to receive our rewards. But the ones who stand before the great white throne, you're either ones who did your will or you're ones who did his will. And just in case you wondered, in John 7:17, it says, if you really will to do his will only, he'll make this doctrine known to you, that it's not man's gospel, it's God's doctrine. Number four, your inheritance is based upon your sanctification, not your justification. Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which can build all of you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Jesus said, Father, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. And I filled in my last will and testament that none of them should perish, but all should come to eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:4, 2 Peter 3:9. My will and testament is that all of them should come to eternal life and then become heirs in Christ Jesus with me. For us to fill in the bottom of the will where we receive the inheritance of Christ, we must be willing to die for our friend just like he died for us while we were yet sinners. That means we must be willing to give our life as a living sacrifice. We've got to take hands off and say, God, I don't understand it. I can't do this. He doesn't want you to understand. He doesn't want you to do it. He wants you to trust him like a little child. And so your inheritance is based on your sanctification. There's four times in the epistles of Paul where he says you become sons and then you become heirs. You don't ever become heirs before you're a son. Number five, it cost Jesus his life so that we could be made holy. Hebrews 13:12, Jesus went outside the city gate and he suffered and he shed his own blood to sanctify his people. NIV says to make his people holy. Cost him his life. Did not cost him his life to forgive us. Oh, we always say Jesus paid it all so that we could be forgiven. I know we're forgiven because of that, but it did not cost him his life. He'd been forgiving us for thousands of years. Sacrificial systems, the priesthood, the Day of Atonement. Go and sin no more. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Oh, rise up and walk. It did not cost him his life to keep solving what ails us and forgiving us of what we do. It cost him his life so that we could have his nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, since we have these divine promises, we can partake of this very precious divine nature. We have the privilege of having a spiritual nature change, a DNA change, because he was willing to give his heart. And because he was willing to give his heart, we can have his heart, like it says in Ezekiel chapter 11, chapter 18, chapter 36. He takes our heart of stone out and gives us his heart. And with his heart, he doesn't want to just stop there. He wants to fill us with his spirit. And when he fills us with his spirit, he moves us. And we don't even fight it because that's what we want, because he changes our will and our desires to line up with his. He does that for us. So we will follow his laws and decrees, and it'll be a joy to love the Lord and to obey his commandments, and they're not burdensome. Why? Because he changes your motives. In Psalm 62:5, it says, my desire comes from you now. Well, if it be your will, well, it is his will. If you're in him and he's in you and there's no separation, then you have the mind of Christ. I'm preaching good. Number six, if you're ashamed of him in this wicked and adulterous generation, he'll be ashamed of you. Hebrews 2:11 says, and Matthew 12:50, but Hebrews 2:11 says it better, both the God who sanctifies men and the ones he sanctified are of the same family, and Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers or sisters. Both the God who makes men holy and those he has made holy are of the same family, and Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. Who are my brothers and sisters? Those who do my will. You see, and we have so many people, church, we have so many people in our church that know this up here, but there's no passion down here. He did not do this for us to have a doctrine that we could quote and articulate slickly. He gave us this blessed Holy Spirit experience of purification and empowerment so that we could be His hands and His eyes and His feet. We could be His body and we could touch the world. That's why He did it. He didn't do it for our benefit. He did it for His name's sake. We just get to enjoy His name's sake. You know, it's not about us. It's about Him and the kingdom and the generations to come. And if we just sit there in our pew and there's no passion, there's no love for people, we live in fear, we don't have a love for the Word, then we're not in this. We may know about it, but demons know about it. So are you ashamed when the altar call is given and 20 people come forward and there should be 60? Are you ashamed? If you are, He is too. Number seven. There's only 30 points. Actually, when I had this experience and I started doing my nosy investigating, reading my Bible through once a month, I found less than 40 verses in the whole canon that have to do with justification or regeneration. I found over 610 that have to do with sanctification, purification, circumcision, crucifixion, cleansing. There's about 13 to 1. But yet nobody talks about the second one. There's just this big assumption that everybody's got it by osmosis. I've been to two holiness summits in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what the purpose of these things is, because all we talked about it up here, but there was no call for anybody to get into it. Now they asked me to speak at a holiness summit next March up on the Olivet Zone, and I hope they realize what they've asked me to do. Because I don't have assumptions. Because I sit in pews for 34 years. I was so slick and so churchy. I had all the lingo. And I had nothing of what I'm talking about. So I don't have any assumptions. I just know that if someone would be obedient tonight before this service is over, this plexiglass might shatter. All it takes is one. The next reason why you need to have this experience is because the Holy Spirit thinks so much of it that He will make you know for sure that you have the experience. Not only does He do what He says in Galatians 4, Romans 8:15, where you cry out, Abba Father, when you are regenerated and adopted in, but in Hebrews 10:14, it says He has forever by one sacrifice perfected those He sanctified. And the same Spirit will bear witness to you when that happens as well. part of his bearing witness to you when you're sanctified and you know the work is done is that he fulfills a prophecy from Jeremiah 31:33, where it says, I'll take the word of God off the paper and I'll write it on your heart and I'll imprint it into your mind. And you will not speak your words so prevalently anymore, but when you open your mouth, it will be as if you are in prophecy speaking the words of Christ. That goes along with that first question of the exam. Do you love the word? So if you have the witness of the Spirit right now, then you didn't have a problem passing the test. But if you don't have the witness of the Spirit, it means you don't have the experience. Then there's not a shame here, church, to admit you don't have an experience. The shame is in the lie. God doesn't ask you to come up here and say, oh, I'm a degenerate. I have nothing to offer you. He wants you to give Him your life. He gave His life for your life. And it's precious to Him. So don't call what God calls precious insignificant. He wants your will. He wants your future. He wants you. There's no shame in saying, God, I want all of you. Please take all of me. The shame is sitting there knowing that you have no victory and knowing that you struggle in sin and knowing that you have no power and you have no passion. You're just here because you don't know what else to do. That's not why He died. The shame is just sitting here. That's the shame. Our church is filled with shame. If the Spirit's bearing witness to you right now, in your heart you're going, thank you, Jesus. You don't have pride. You're broken and humble. You don't have some bag, well, I'm saved and sanctified. You have the weight of the world on you because you know you have the secret. And you don't want to keep it in. And you don't have a pious, self-righteous attitude. You have a broken heart, knowing that if someone could just have what you have, you'd be willing to give everything so they could have it. Well, guess what? He did give everything. So everybody can have this experience. We can all have it! Number 9, we can have it in this lifetime. In fact, we can have it right now. I won't give you all the verses. See him in my head. Sometimes it drives me crazy. You'll come out from among them and touch no unclean thing, then I will receive you and I'll be your father and you'll be my child. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself of everything that contaminates his spirit, soul, and body, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1, starting in 2 Corinthians 6:17, quoting Isaiah 52:11. 1 John 3 starts off with how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the sons of God. And that's exactly what we are. It has not yet been made clear what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. 1 John 4:17, we can stand before Him unashamed on the great day of judgment because in this lifetime He has made us like Him. Luke 1:74 and 75, after Zechariah is filled with the Spirit, we can live before Him all of our days in the beauty of holiness and have victory over all of our enemies. All of our days, not when we get old. How about some young people having a testimony? All of our days in holiness. How? When the anointing of God draws you to a place of surrender. And you say, God, and I know we debate over this surrender or consecration. I think the church spends way too much time debating. I think God knows your heart, whether you're playing a game or whether you just want Him to change your nature. God knows. Number 10. blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the Lord. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to seek holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I believe that lines up with 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that God's will that you be sanctified so you can avoid sexual immorality. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that if they had a pure heart and they were looking at Jesus, they could look at pornography at the same time. I don't think anybody has a pornography addiction in church. Nobody here is looking at their BlackBerry trying to find their porn site. I don't think you have an addiction. I think you have a vision problem. You don't see God. There's no word for addiction in the whole Bible. There's 600 and some verses on sexual immorality. There's not one word for addiction. It's just called sin. Or lust. Or pride. Or a demonic stronghold. No addictions to lust. Just lust. Jesus specializes in forgiving sin and delivering from all sin. So if we want God to deliver us not only from our sins, but also from this sin, we must let Him purify our heart and make us holy. Because then we can live in peace with all men as far as lies within us. Amen? And the last point is, if you know this truth tonight, and you want to ascend the hill of God, and you want to stand in His holy presence, the only way you get to go, Psalms 24, 3 and 4 says, is if you have clean hands and pure hearts. James 4, 7 says that you must resist the devil, so he'll flee from you. And you must draw near to God, so He'll draw near to you. But if you're a sinner, get your hands washed. But if you are double-minded, get your heart purified. Get saved and get sanctified. Get adopted, get purified. You say, well, Dan, how do you know it's two? Well, Isaiah had the experience. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He had a measure of purity. But his lips were purged, and his iniquity was taken away in Isaiah 6. David prayed about this in Isaiah 51. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, but don't stop there. Purify me and create in me a pure heart. Don't take your spirit from me. Give me a steadfast spirit. Zechariah prophesied about this in Zechariah 13:1. There's going to be a fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness. Jeremiah talked about it in Jeremiah 33, for sin and iniquity and uncleanness. It's always sin first. I mean, this goes all the way through the Scriptures. Abram, follow me. Okay, you're a righteous man because you're obedient, but Abram, this isn't good enough. Circumcise your foreskin. Walk before me now and be perfect. And circumcision is not that of the flesh. Romans 2:29, circumcision is that of the spiritual heart. There's 600 verses about this. This is what the Bible says. So if you know that your access into heaven is to get saved and sanctified, why? Because when you get clean hands and a pure heart, you don't lift up your souls to idols. You don't swear by false things. Revelation 21, 27, nothing impure or unclean enters heaven's gates. Revelation 22, behold, I have come, my rewards are with me, and I'll give to each person according to what they've done while in the body. If you're a sinner, stay a sinner. If you're evil, stay evil. If you're righteous, stay righteous. If you're holy, stay holy. he comes back. That's where we should be. So did you pass the test? I don't do altar calls. I preach too long. This year I've been gone 5 weeks once, 4 weeks once, 3 weeks once from my wife that I never used to be separated from. I have 6 grandbabies that I love to death. I don't ever see them. Part of me thinks, okay, God, this is great. I just get to have my family grow up without me. But anytime I have my 30-second pity parties, because that's all he lets me have, he comes and floods into me. He says, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, people can have what I gave you. And I've seen it everywhere, church. I've seen thousands of people this year get free. Just get free. So my cross is easy. I haven't shed blood. I just have a few momentary light afflictions. I just wonder tonight, church. Saturday night crowd came back after that long-winded preacher. I just wonder tonight if there's anybody in the room at all. If you were honest, you'd say, I don't have that. I don't have that. I want to, but I don't have it. Took me a one-word prayer. Took me 34 years to get there. Because I'm stubborn, kind of bullheaded, slow learner. Took God a moment. Took me 34 years to get there. I wonder tonight if there's anybody in Western Oaks Church. If you were honest, you'd say, you know, Dan, I just want God to sanctify me. I don't even know how to pray. You don't need to know how to pray. The Spirit knows how to pray in accordance with the will of the Father. Just let Him pray in you. You say, well, I've done this. I've been in the altar 100 times. Me too. But one time it stuck. And I can't recover. You say, well, everything's easy for you, Dan. No, it's not. You don't have any idea. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for the world. So if you don't have this experience, there's no shame in saying I don't have it. The shame is sitting there and saying I don't want it because I don't want to be exposed. If we're going to have miracles tomorrow, we've got to have obedience tonight. And if you once had this, but you don't have the fire anymore, you need to come back and say, God, sanctify me again. Cleanse me again. Fill me again. I'm not going to have music. We're not going to do just as I am. We're not going to do this, guys. You guys aren't going to play games with God on my watch. I'm not after an emotional decision where you get hot for 2 weeks and then you're never different. I want you to say, God, I want to lay down my life. I want to give up. I want to do it once and for all. I want to be able to say it's finished. I want to be like you, Jesus, where you did it. You gave all you had and it was finished. I want to do the same. You say, you don't think anything else has to happen? No, I think God wants to do a billion more things, but you've got to go through this door of freedom. You have to be finished. So I want you to come. This is a good time, folks, to get serious about worship. This is worship. Not whether you have your hands up or your hands down, not whether you're clapping or dancing. Are you being obedient? Please be obedient tonight. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. If you need to be sanctified tonight, if you need to be re-sanctified, if you want the fire to touch your life again, if you need the power and the purity, if you want to be set free, would you just come up and kneel? Do not fight it. Please don't fight it, church. If you didn't pass the test, pass the test. Pass the test. Do you have what I'm talking about, church? If you do, can you do this? Just do this. If you know. Praise the Lord. If you don't have your hands up, will you come to the altar, please? Don't fight God. Please humble yourself. If you don't have your hands up, humble yourself before God. Get free. Bring revival. Let revival start in your heart and your family and your wife and your husband and your kids. Let revival start in this church so it spreads in the neighborhood and your place of business. You hold it back. God's there. He hasn't changed. If you couldn't raise your hands, please. Get free. Just give up. Lay your life down. There's room. You can kneel. You can even sit on these front pews if you want. Please, church. We're desperate. We're desperate, church. We're desperate. You know, in the old Bible times, the high priest always had to put their foot in the water first. I think board members and Sunday school teachers and pastoral staffs need to get fire again. I think it's for everybody. Amen? I don't think anybody in a service like this should be sitting there like this. Well, I mean, I think everybody who's in should be on their face praying before God. If you will let Him be the refiner's fire and the launderer's soap that He longs to be to make you like Him, He will come suddenly to His temple, which is your body. He will come suddenly. And when He comes, the Son of Righteousness will arise and there'll be healing in His wings and He'll even be able to put your body back together and your broken heart back together. Only if you allow Him to clean you and purify you and purge you. You say, well, Dan, everybody's moved. No, there's still some people. How do you know, Dan? Because I see things. God lets me see things. There's some people that have been in the way a long time, but you don't have the fire, you just have the form. You need to get the fire back. Just a few more moments. I don't wait long because I don't want to insult the Spirit, but I'm telling you, Jesus waited for me 34 years. I can wait 5 minutes. You need to make sure God has made you pure and holy today. While it's still today. Church, if you're in the way of holiness, if your heart is resoundingly full of the Spirit right now, I would like somebody to play softly on the piano, and I would like all of you who really know you're in the Spirit just to walk up here and stand behind people or kneel behind them or lay your hands on them. I just think God would be pleased if we did family business. That means you come forward and you get involved in family business. I think God would be pleased if we got in one accord.